bringing you Jesus Christ. This is The Way.
WIAM 101.1.
Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, insuring over 1,000 churches and religious ministries in Kentucky, Alabama, and Tennessee, and even insuring those who attend church, too. If you'd like a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can call 865-922-3111 or visit them online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Current events.
Personal values.
Political and social issues.
Technology. Wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Follow the signs.
Our government might not see it this way, but we see it as an attack on Jews and Christians. We'll explain our position, but can we explain a rise in TB cases, earthquakes, rampant violence, and wars and rumors of wars? We can't, but the Bible can, so we'll go to God's Word as we look at the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, April 5th, 2024. You can listen, read, learn, and share when you visit thewaymedia.net. You can watch previous episodes whenever you want, a variety of ways to subscribe to our podcast. You can read the articles we talk about and ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question. You can show your family and friends you care when you share these episodes with them. You can do all of that when you visit the Signs of the Times section of thewaymedia.net, or do the same when you download the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here to remind us that money talks, but all it can say is goodbye, is Pastor Mark, whose wife recently caught him on the bathroom scale sucking in his stomach. She told him, that's not going to help. But he said, yes, it does. It's the only way that I can read the numbers.
You know, it wouldn't be funny if it wasn't so true.
When I ran this by someone, they said, Pastor Mark's not going to be offended by that. And I said, he's not fat.
Well, I've certainly gained some weight as the years have gone by, but it doesn't offend
me
at all. There's called reality, and reality's reality. So
that's
here
it.
We are.
That's it. Okay, so now it's time for, it seems like, Pastor Mark, we don't have music for it, but it's almost like it's our new segment now. And it's called Prophecy Stories I Can't Ignore.
Yeah.
And here is yet again another instance of people messing with Israel and God responding. At least that's our take on it, based on the history of God responding when somebody messes with Israel.
Yeah, it is very interesting. You know, I one of the things when you do a prophecy show or any kind of radio show, you have to be careful about extremism. You have to be careful about jumping on every little thing and saying, oh, this is that, and kind of, you know, you don't want to. A lot of people chase stuff they shouldn't chase.
Yeah, we're not into black helicopters and tinfoil hats. That is not this show.
That's right. And so I realize that's out there. And so when these kind of things come up, I say them very cautiously. But it's almost like you said, it's events that I simply can't ignore when I look at what's happening. And statistically, almost impossibility statistically of these things taking place. And we talked about some of them last week. And some people might make, you know, poke fun at it or whatever, you know. But again, another one happened again this week. And we know that, you know, first of all, the elephant in the room, if you will, the earthquake that we had in New Jersey today. And our hearts are with all those people that are there. I'm glad that it wasn't worse than it was. You know, Greg, they're still evaluating to see how bad it was. They don't know about buildings and bridges. They were talking about the fact that the bridges and the buildings were not built to an earthquake code in New York or that whole region because they don't have them. This is the first earthquake this size since 1884 in that area. So you see how long ago that's been. So what they did, they haven't built the buildings for that. They don't know what damage, maybe interstructural damage, which wouldn't that be terrible to find out later on what structural damage has been done You know, if a building was to collapse or a bridge collapse, it could be horrible. So we don't really know the full import of this yet. But at the same time, look, earthquakes always happen. They happen all over the world. And I really look at earthquakes when they come in clusters. As Matthew 24, the Lord said, in the last days, you're going to see a woman like in birth pangs. And you'll see these worldwide events. Worldwide, I want to emphasize that. All happening at one time. Whether it be wars breaking out at one time or earthquakes breaking out at one time or whatever. And it is interesting that we've seen kind of this cluster of earthquakes. Three here in the last week. We saw Taiwan, which was a 7-point-something earthquake. I think maybe 7.9 to the 7.1.
We're going to talk about that later.
Yeah, huge earthquake. I got to mention it now, though, because of these two, but I won't mention the article now. But either way, you have that one. Then you have one that happened in here in New Jersey, and you had one that happened in Iran. Both of these in New Jersey and Iran happened here on the same day. And so you watch for these kind of things, these clusters. That's kind of one of the signs that the Lord said it'll be like a woman in birth pangs having these cluster type events that are taking place. So I see those. I expect those. We expect those. And we don't overreact on those. We just note them and go, all right, let's keep our eye on this because the Lord said we're supposed to be seeing these kind of things as we get closer. But ever so often, there are these events that take place that seem to be a statement from God or some type of statement from, you know, that it seems that God is making to get someone's attention. And I want to be careful on this because anybody can grab some event. Oh, hey, there was a car wreck. That was God making a statement. No, that's you know, ridiculous. We're not going down that road, as we already said. And maybe I'm over apologetic about it, but I know how many people out there go kind of crazy and get really way, way, way off course. And we got to stay focused on the Word of God and where we stand. However, when you see things like we talked about, the bridge that fell there, in Minnesota a few years back, 1947 bridge broke free from the West Bank on the same day that the congressman there announced they were going to go try to get Israel pushed back to the 47 lines and come from the West Bank. You look at that and go, what are the odds? I mean, okay, let's don't go overboard.
Mm-hmm.
But what are the odds?
Right.
And then we saw the bridge get hit by the barge.
Francis Scott Key.
We want to be careful that everything, this is a sign from God. We want to be careful. But at the same time, why did that barge, you know, happen to hit the same time that America is turning, you know, basically against God in every way? Some of the things that are happening in the White House, it hits the Francis Scott Key Bridge at a very key time, and we see the bridge collapse. Okay, it may be nothing to do with anything with God, okay?
I'm just
saying, I find these things, go, what do you do with that? You know, it might be better to say, what do you do with that? I can't ignore it, and what do you do with it? Well, we had another one now. What do you do with this? And is it just chance? Is it just random? I don't know, but here's the deal. Last night, President Biden calls Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, and tells him, you know, first of all, the Gaza war's got to end. There needs to be a ceasefire. Don't go into Rafah. And again, the State Department announces at the same time in a conference today about how they're instructing Israel, do not, you know, they're saying we do not agree with you attacking Hezbollah. Iran is basically in Lebanon. They surround Israel. They call them their proxies. They were down in Gaza. Hamas really is kind of an extension arm of Iran. Hezbollah in Lebanon is an extension arm of Iran. And Iran doesn't want to really attack Israel directly because if they were to fire missiles from Iran into Israel, they realize Israel's going to retaliate, and they're going to retaliate big. They're going to go straight from there and knock out their nuclear sites and do all kinds of damage. And they don't want that because they want to continue their nuclear program, blah, blah, blah. So what they do is they attack Israel by their proxies, either by Lebanon and Hezbollah in Lebanon or Hamas in Gaza. Now they're losing Hamas in Gaza, so they're screaming and jumping up and down. Everybody's having a fit because they won't be able to attack Israel from there. But they've got the way they attack them from there. So anyway, Israel, like a couple of days ago, they attacked the embassy, the Iranian embassy in Syria. And they kill several of...
They attacked the Iranian embassy or Iran attacked the American embassy?
They attacked the Iranian embassy. Israel shot missiles from
F-35s. Oh, Israel, I'm sorry. My bad.
And attacked the Iranian embassy in Syria. And they killed a major operative there for Iran.
We'll talk about that. Yep.
Yes, and some others. So Iran is one of these. It was a major, Greg, a major escalation. It's not just like, oh, we attack this place and you attack that place. This was almost like sacred ground. You don't attack someone's embassy. It notched it up. And so what it's done is the whole world now is going, what did you just do? Why'd you do that? Matter of fact, one article read, the world finally turns against Israel was the headline because of this kind of stuff. And so Israel did it. And the reason they did it, they said, because there's things going on behind the scenes that we don't know yet, that they know, that it was big enough for them to take this guy out no matter where he was, et cetera. I don't know all the details on that. We'll hopefully find them out later. So everybody's already waiting for Iran to attack. And Iran goes, okay, because you did that, we're gonna do something. We have to. And the CIA told Israel just today, or yesterday that their information is, and what they're intercepting is that Iran will attack Israel in some form and fashion within 48 hours, which means yesterday and today. So sometime today would be the clock running out for what the CIA anyway is saying, Israel will be retaliated against by Iran. Because Iran has to, because it was such a big attack on their embassy and such a big deal to their nation. They've got to make some statement or whatever. So to Israel, it was worth it. They did it. Now, with that setting, that already happens. The threat against Israel is there. President Biden gets on the phone with Prime Minister Netanyahu and says, look, the Gaza thing, there's got to be a ceasefire in Gaza. You've got to remove all the civilians from Rafah. You know, if there's anything that's going to be done in Rafah, and we really don't want you to do anything in Rafah. Don't even attack Rafah. Don't do anything. They've got to go into Rafah. We talked about this because they've got to finish the last group of Hamas.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Or they're
going to
come
week.
Right
yeah.
back and attack them. So anyway, that whole discussion is going on. At the same time, again, I don't know what they talked about personally, but the State Department talked about the attack in Lebanon.
Okay.
Yeah, the State Department talked about the attack in Lebanon, saying we don't want you to go into Hezbollah and do anything there. We're not with you. We won't stand with you on that. Don't do it, blah, blah. So that's where we are. Now, that conversation happens. The event happened there in Iran. Everybody's waiting for the attack. And then last night in Tehran, they have these strange meteors that come flying in that are on YouTube. You can see them. It's just these weird meteors. It almost looks like missiles coming in. It's just kind of like, what is this all about? And it was nothing military. It was just this bizarre. It wasn't like shooting stars. I mean, these things were like burning all the way across the sky. This one particular one that I saw, I don't know if there was more than one or not. And then they have this giant earthquake. Okay, 5.9 earthquake hits Tehran. Almost like, hey, you're threatening Israel. You better think about it. You know, what's going on here? That's kind of what it looks like because of the timing. And then, Greg, today, with our president supporting Iran and releasing another $10 billion for Iran, they just announced, as well as standing against Israel and defending themselves, all of a sudden we have an earthquake at the same time, not exactly the same time, but within a few hours in New Jersey. And here's the crazy thing. This is where I'll let you guys run with this, whatever you think. You want to call me whatever, you can. But the epicenter was Lebanon,
New Jersey.
And here we are saying, stop the war in Gaza, do not attack Lebanon. And then an earthquake hits in Iran, who's the one that's threatening Israel, and our president standing with Iran. And now in Lebanon, New Jersey, we have this earthquake. They hadn't had one since 1884, this large. And I'm going, look, I'm not going to say that every earthquake is God making a statement. I'm not going to say that I've said that too much. But I'm just telling you, find me a statistician. I want somebody to give the odds. What are the odds of this? It seems too odd not to be greater than the odds for God not to be in control. I mean, I almost believe that it's like, I feel like God's trying to get our attention, saying, you better wake up. You better wake up, leave Israel alone, let them do what they need to do, and because you're going to be dealing with me. And I know that's a bold statement. I know I may take some heat from that. I don't care. There are things I can't ignore. This is too much of a statistical anomaly for me to just pretend it just happened to be epicentered in Lebanon, New Jersey. At the same time, our president is telling them, don't go into Lebanon. At the same time, Iran just says, we're going to come in and attack from Lebanon. They're talking about getting Hezbollah to attack them from Lebanon. It's too much. There's a point where I go, okay, this is too much. Coincidence is too much. I'll leave it at that, but I'm saying, look, be praying for everybody involved. That's the key. But pray, if this is a message from God, that our nation would begin to wake up and say, all right, wake up. It's time to stop this nonsense and leave Israel alone. Let them do what they need to do. And what's God going to have to do to get our attention? The sad thing to me is I don't think, unless you're looking at Scripture and your eyes are open, nobody's going to see this. And again, like I said, probably some people even make fun of it. I can't ignore it.
Yeah. It's beyond coincidence.
It's too much.
Just because of everything else that's tied to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one thing that I have noticed, though, and when we've looked at these things in times past, it seems that based on what we've read in the past, what we've seen in the past, God, this is not new for God to do this when it comes to the nation of Israel.
Right.
And it's not with everything regarding the nation of Israel.
Right.
It's just specific things with the nation of Israel, whether it has to do with Israel's protection or the land itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in what we've seen in the past is God's response has been historically within a 24 to 48 hour period, but not greater than that.
Yeah.
What we're seeing now with these recent things, it's within hours. Not even a day, Pastor Mark.
It's so close. It really is almost like God wants to make sure that nobody's mistaking that he's making a statement. And again, I want to be cautious. I want to be cautious, guys. Okay. I'm not chasing flying saucers and Bigfoot out there. Nope. No, just know that. But I can't ignore certain things. It is statistically too much for me to simply ignore.
Yep. You know, and besides, Bigfoot saw me, but nobody believed him anyways.
Yeah, Greg doesn't exist. Yes. I don't believe it either.
Yeah, I don't believe it either. All right, let's talk about the impending prophetic doom for those that are going to come against Israel that we know is the prophecies of Ezekiel 38 and 39. This is from the Jerusalem Post, dated April 2nd, how Iran will respond to strike that killed Mohammad Reza Zahedi.
Yes.
So we touched on that a little bit in your opening. Yep. So let's talk about it some more.
I'll read some of the articles. Zahedi was a senior person who can be said to have given Israel a lot of headaches in the last 20 years. For all the exploits in his involvement in terrorism, Simonatov said, and again, this is probably why they went and just got this guy, no matter where he was, because he was a major headache for the nation of Israel for 20 years. And I quote, a very senior member of the Iranian hierarchy. He managed the entire operation. Notice what he did. He managed the entire operation of smuggling weapons from Syria to Lebanon.
Mm.
Okay? That's what he was doing. He was a very senior person who can be said to have given Israel a lot of headaches in the last 20 years for his exploits. The most senior Iranian who has been eliminated so far since October 7th on Syrian soil. And I quote, this is a severe and painful blow to the Iranian regime, a matter in which the Iranians are more inclined to take revenge against Israel. We noted that again, the CIA saying they believe they'll do it within 48 hours. We'll find out. We've already eliminated several of their senior officials since October 7th on Syrian soil. This is the period when Iran wants to show that it is the leading the axis of resistance.
Hmm.
So again, same thing. We see this whole connection here going on. That's why this, you know, the whole thing we just talked about. And it won't be the last one. If Israel has to go get them, they'll go get them. And again, the world's going to get madder and madder. Greg, when I saw that headline, the whole world finally turning against Israel, I'm like, you have no idea. That was the unbeliever.
Yes.
I said, you have no idea. You just spoke Zechariah straight out of your mouth and you're fulfilling prophecy. And it's exciting because we see God moving.
Yeah. And getting closer.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely.
So we'll keep our eyes out. Something could happen between now and next Friday. Or maybe God stopped all of that based on what we just talked about earlier with the earthquakes.
Well, we'll see. Again,
we'll see. We'll see.
Iran's going to do something. Let's just keep our eye on
it.
Yep.
All right, let's come back to America here. We've got a couple of stories. This one will also repeat itself in another category later. But this one from Breitbart.com, dated March 30th, the White House doubles down after declaring Easter Transgender Day of Visibility.
Yeah.
This is a direct attack on the Christian faith in what that day stands for, at the very least, for Christians.
You're right, Greg. And even before I get into this, I want to point out something we've talked about that I've been noting is happening. The thermometer's turning up on direct opposition to God from Satan. It's direct. It used to be kind of stealth, silent, etc. But, I mean, this is the spirit of Antichrist. And remember, anti means instead of. So the spirit of instead of Christ, that is, Satan said, I will become God. I'm going to replace the things that God has put into place, and I'm going to put what I want to put in place. And by the way, God established, again, Jesus Christ, his son, who died and resurrected from the dead. So Satan coming straight at the Lord head on, I'm going to try to remove the celebration of Jesus rising from the dead. We've talked in the past about the attack on Christmas, removing the celebration of the birth of Jesus because Satan hates it and he wants to be God. Now we see Satan trying to remove the celebration of Jesus rising from the dead because Satan hates it and he wants to be God. So the overall picture, even before I get into this article, I want to make sure our listeners understand, this is the spirit of the instead of Christ. He's trying to take Jesus' place. I will be God. I'll be the one you look to, not the resurrected Christ. You'll look to me. I'll be the one to look to, not the one that was born in a manger. You're going to look to me. And so he's using those that can be used, which sadly is our president at this time, to basically attack one of the holiest days in the universe throughout history, Jesus raising from the dead, and in so doing, mocking the Lord's creation in male and female. Let me read some of it. Again, White House spokesman Karine Jean-Pierre has doubled down after President Joe Biden declared Easter Sunday Transgender Day of Visibility. Jean-Pierre's statement on X Saturday followed overwhelming backlash to Biden's animated affirmation of the controversial holiday as the same day as the holiest Christian holiday. On Transgender Day of Visibility, the Biden-Harris administration honors the extraordinary courage and contributions, they said, of transgender Americans and reaffirms our nation's commitment to forming a more perfect union where all people are treated equally. So how in the world does that form a more perfect union? Anyway, let's go on. Biden's proclamation, by the way, issued on the day that they celebrate the crucifixion of the Lord, Good Friday, another sacred day for Christians, announced this, and I quote, "Transgender Americans are part of the fabric of our nation and called for the passage of the Equality Act. That law would codify Democrats' embrace of gender identity that made up the concept or the made up concept that one can identify as a sex other than what they were born as and became that sex or born as and became that sex. Democrats have tried to pass the bill for years, but have yet to get it across the president's desk." And so, again, you can say, well, they're using it as a political opportunity. Indeed, they are. But he knew when he did this, this was right in the face of God. And he obviously doesn't believe in God or fear God, or could he have could have never have done this. But again, you know, I think we're seeing a growing openness, Greg, of Satan kind of taking the world over. Mm-hmm. I'm God.
Yeah.
I'm going to replace Jesus. His followers, those who don't know the Lord, they're his mouthpiece. And it's becoming more and more open. And again, we've talked about it has to, because if he really wants to be worshipped, by the time the rapture takes place and the Antichrist comes on the scene and the Bible says Satan will at some point possess him, he's if he really is going to be worshipped, he's going to need to do it openly. He's going to, you know, you're going to bow down to me. And I think at some point, I think the world's even going to know that it's Satan. I do. I think Satan's going to make it known. It's not just going to be the Antichrist. I think he's going to make it known because he desires people to worship Satan, not just worship people that are following him. And it's leading to more and more open of the worship of the enemy. And it's going to continue to lead that way until, again, God brings judgment during the Great Tribulation.
Our next article is, again, we talked about this at the beginning, but whatever you want to add to this, Pastor Mark.
Yes.
This is from Breitbart.com, dated April 4th. Biden demands a quote-unquote immediate ceasefire from Netanyahu in a phone call that we just talked about.
Yeah, let me read his actual statement. That'll be something to add to this. So he said this, "President Biden spoke by telephone," this came from the White House, "with Prime Minister Netanyahu. The two leaders discussed the situation in Gaza. President Biden emphasized that the strikes on the humanitarian workers and overall humanitarian situation are unacceptable." Now, this of course it is. This drives me nuts because, the humanitarian workers that were hit, do we have an article on that today?
No, we do not.
All right, let me quickly just mention it. Maybe you heard about it. Most people have, if you're keeping up with news. They accidentally struck some aid workers there in Gaza. And again, just because their cars were marked as aid workers and because they were clearly marked, that means nothing. Hamas always takes clearly marked vehicles and uses them for terrorism.
Exactly.
So that means nothing. And again, they saw someone. They
said, infiltrated hospitals.
Yep. They said that they still said that the procedure was not handled properly. And two of the soldiers, the ones that were in charge of calling for the attack, had been removed and it's being evaluated. They've asked forgiveness. They said this was a mistake. But you've got to realize friendly fire takes place in wars, number one. And number two, I don't care what the vehicle is marked as, Hamas uses anything. They use children and women to protect themselves. You know, it's ridiculous to make that claim.
They don't respect anything.
Absolutely. So the president even saying this to me is an insult. But let's go on. He made clear the need for Israel to announce and implement a series of specific, concrete, and measurable steps to address civilian harm, humanitarian suffering, and safety aid workers. You mean like dropping flyers everywhere before you attack? You mean like letting all your enemy know everything you're going to do before you do it? You mean like moving all the civilians out of the way before you attack?
Who does that?
How about those kind of measures, Mr. President? Because that's exactly what Israel's been doing the entire time. I go on. He made clear that U.S. policy with respect to Gaza will be determined by our assessment of Israel's immediate action on these steps. They're already doing it. This is so politics and such an insult. He underscored that an immediate ceasefire is essential to stabilize and improve the humanitarian situation and protect innocent civilians, and urged the prime minister to empower his negotiators to conclude a deal without delay and to bring the hostages home. Again, at least he mentioned the hostages. They hardly ever get mentioned. Listen, this is like saying, you know what, we believe that although Hitler's still killing everyone and killing all the Jews, we call for an immediate ceasefire because as we're trying to get Hitler, civilians are getting hurt. And you know what? There's some people going hungry because we're trying to get Hitler. So let's leave Hitler alone. No, you still have to go after Hitler, even if people get hungry and even if civilians die. We hate it, but it's the reality of war. The two leaders also discussed public Iranian threats against Israel and the Israeli people, President Biden made clear the United States strongly supports Israel in the face of those threats. Mm-hmm. So we don't support you. Stop it. But yeah. we do support you. It's just two-faced, ridiculous. His statement confirms that the U.S. has effectively adopted Hamas' demand that a ceasefire precede a deal to release the remaining 134 Israeli hostages, probably half which are not even alive. The U.S. previously agreed with Israel that a ceasefire depended on a deal. So he's just backtracking like we said he would do. All the world gives them their go-ahead initially. When they're about to finish the job, they backtrack. And again, yes, war is ugly. We don't want any civilians dead. We don't want anybody hungry. And that's why we want Jesus to come back. Because when Jesus comes back, nobody will be dead and nobody will be hungry. But right now, before he comes back, there's going to be a lot of it. And it's going to get worse till the very end. And that's why the Lord's coming to rescue us.
I don't know if this next article, Pastor Mark, helps us at all with this conversation. But this is from the Jerusalem Post, dated March 28th, clarifying anti-war stance in diplomatic meetings. What is this all about?
Well, again, you got this. It says, we do not support a war in Lebanon. White House Secretary Spokesman John Kirby said on Thursday. Okay? Yes. And it was this morning again when Lebanon, New Jersey, again, we talked about.
This article was dated March 28th.
So. Okay, great. Well, okay, doesn't matter. Still,
doesn't
okay,
matter.
I thought
but
it was
yeah.
closer than it was, yeah. but here's yeah. the bottom line. It still addresses the situation.
Yes.
Thank you for clarifying that, Greg. Even as they clarify the anti-war stance, you clarified when the other was. But again, John Kirby said on Thursday, addressing rising tensions in Israel's north, and I quote, we don't want to see that happen. We've been crystal clear about that since the very beginning of this. The White House also said it is still working to reschedule its meeting with the Israeli delegation, who Prime Minister Netanyahu pulled from a meeting with the U.S. following the abstention in the United Nations Security Council ceasefire resolution vote. The White House is still positioning that a major ground of Rafah would be a ground attack of Rafah would be a mistake, as it's a tight piece of geography. That means it's hard to go in there without a lot of innocent people getting hurt. That's true.
Very true.
But again, that doesn't mean you can't let Hitler stay there. You still
right.
got to go get Hitler, okay? So that's the problem. How tight the space is, you've got to get Hitler. We haven't, and we're probably not going to agree with the Israelis on every single thing when it comes to their military operations. Kirby
I would
said,
agree with nothing.
Yeah, but we both agree on the main thing, and that is that we can't allow Hamas to be able to conduct another attack like the one they did October 7th.
So though we're still funding their proxy leader, Haran, with $10 billion.
Yeah, notice what they
do,
though.
We talk so
both sides of the mouth.
I know.
They seem to say, we've got to stop this, but we stand with you. No, you don't. I mean, the bottom line is that you can't
what,
do
what
that.
What does God say about duplicity in the Bible, Pastor Mark?
Well, I mean, again, God says to be single-minded. Single-hearted, God says to be single-focused on him. You know, it's your SBS, your no be no, and be single-focused on right and wrong. So this kind of wishy-washy back and forth, I mean, God hates it.
Yeah, he does.
He hates it. And so we need to stop playing this game, stand with Israel firmly, and say whatever consequence the world gives us, they give us.
Yeah. That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand these signs of the times, our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast number 305, available to subscribe and listen to wherever you get your podcasts. And now,
you've got mail.
Got a few questions this week, Pastor Mark. Our first one comes from Addison, who enjoys Signs of the Times in Bryan, Texas. It's regarding the extraordinary creatures like the days of Noah. He said, Jesus refers to the last days as being the same as the days of Noah. For the longest time, I have always been told and thought that it meant just rampant evil or sin, but we have always had that. Recently, I have been studying the Genesis 6 incursion in the book The Judgment of the Nephilim by Ryan Peterson. He gives a scripture-anchored rundown from Genesis to Revelation on how Satan has constantly been striving to kill God's redemptive bloodline from Genesis 3 on, and even mankind overall, and in how what we will see will be similar to not just sinfulness, but even the abominations or something similar to it. I don't mean this to sound kooky, since I don't know many churches or believers won't even broach this topic, but my spirit tells me this is very possible, if not the actual case Jesus describes. What are your thoughts on this happening again in the last days?
So I assume when they're saying, what is this happening again? Meaning, will there be angels with women again? Because they didn't really say, they just said.
Right. Because it's a polluting
of the DNA and genetics.
The extraordinary creatures like the days of Noah.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening here, Addison, is what you're asking. Okay, let's talk about it. First of all, again, in Genesis 6, it does say that in those days, right before the flood, that the sons of God, notice that phraseology, came in and had sexual relations with the daughters of men. Again, very different phraseology. It's very specific and different. And the result was, and it says, and there were giants in those days. It didn't say the result was giants, but it's pretty much, you know, pretty clear. There were giants, and they, in the context, that's what they're talking about. The result were these babies that were giants. I mean, the babies weren't giants, but baby Huey didn't get born. But either way, they became giants, etc.
Yes, yes.
So, and of course, again, if angels came in, there would have been a tainting of the genetic bloodline. As a matter of fact, we do have an article I still have on my desk. I keep it so I don't lose it. They have found a foreign DNA in mankind that they say is not human. And we know that it's not animal either. And so we have found a DNA strand that is non-human in the human bloodline, which does bring some questions. And of course, when you read the article, it's a scientific article. They're non-believers, but their explanation is aliens. They say, well, here's how that got into the human system. Is aliens came and aliens had relations with women, and because of that, we now have this DNA anomaly that's not human, intermingled with human DNA, et cetera. You don't see it everywhere, but they find it, and so there's a big article about it, et cetera. Now, I would agree, it is an alien relationship, but not aliens like you think of from little green men from another planet. These are fallen angels. These are demons. And again, the only other place we see sons of God mentioned in the Old Testament is in the book of Job, and it's talking specifically about angels. Now, in the New Testament, it does talk about the sons of God as people. That's only, though, in the New Testament. And there's a principle in hermeneutics called expositional constancy, which means as the Bible is exposed in its context, it is constant in what it means. So if you just take the Old Testament by itself, you find that sons of God only has one meaning, and that is fallen angels. It's very clearly fallen angels two other times in Job, which means here, expositional constancy, I believe, would demand that this also means, well, fallen angels. So in the New Testament, now there's a whole new thing going on there where it talks about us becoming children of God and sons of God, et cetera. That's a new thing, and that's acknowledged. But here, I believe in context and in the expositional constancy hermeneutical principle, I think we can say pretty firmly this is, well, I'm sure not everybody would agree, but I believe it pretty clearly is angels actually had relations with women. So with that said, yes, that did happen, and I believe that was part of God's judgment. The whole earth became violent, became corrupted, and it wasn't any one thing. It says God just said he wasn't going to strive with man any longer. Man had gotten so bad he had to wipe man out. He gave him another 120 years to finish, and then God was going to judge him. And, of course, Noah was building the ark during that time. And I believe it's a number of things. I believe, Addison, it was the violence on the earth is a part of it. And I do believe there was a tainting also of the bloodline of man from these fallen angels. So with that said, you might say, but wait a minute, weren't they all destroyed in the flood? And so that would have taken care of it. Well, here's the problem. Remember, there was another 120 years where Noah's family, I don't know if they were walking with God or not. We know that by the time they got to the flood, eight of them got on the ark. What were those eight doing the 120 years prior to that? Were they living a sinful life? Did they somehow intermingle, and maybe not necessarily the fallen angels, but other people that had, and that DNA maybe was transferred or whatever. Then on the ark, the DNA got brought over, and so now you still see some of that DNA in mankind's bloodline. We don't know. We'll find out. Those are all speculations as to what's going to happen. But now getting to your question, I had to lay a good groundwork there to answer this question. The answer is we don't know. I know I said all that, but it's kind of funny when I get to the answer. There's good. No indication.
Yes.
There's one possible indication that I'll share, but here's the thing. Are angels going to be with mankind again? My guess would be probably not, because those angels, the Bible tells us in Jude and in 2 Peter, they were locked up early because they left their proper domain and got involved in strange flesh. They left the angelic domain, and now the Bible says they're locked up in the center of the earth in a place called Tartarus. It talks about it in 2 Peter, and in Revelation it says they'll be released for a short amount of time to be used as part of God's judgment on mankind. But the bottom line is the angels that left their proper domain, these fallen angels, they got locked up. So these new angels would realize these other fallen angels that didn't get locked up, they don't want to be locked up yet because they said to Jesus, don't send us to the pit before our time, and he didn't. They don't want to go there. So they know if they step into that realm, they're probably going to get grabbed and thrown right into Tartarus with the rest of the angels. So if they have any brains left after all these years of rebellion, they're not going to do that. But is it entirely impossible? I won't say it's entirely impossible, but we don't find anything in the scripture that indicates it. There is one scripture that some people bring into question where it talks about in Daniel chapter 2. It says that it talks about that their seed will mingle with man's seed in the last days. And they're saying, well, what does that mean? Is it the seed of wicked people, or is it the seed of something demonic? Again, the Bible's not clear. I can't for sure say either way, But we do know what happened then. Don't know if it's going to happen again. I will have to wait and see.
So let's go back to Genesis really quick.
Yes.
And would you say that those fallen angels manifested in order to have relations?
Yes, that's okay. Why they did it. Okay. They desired women of the earth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then,
and to taint the bloodline, maybe to taint the DNA of mankind.
Yeah. So then it is plausible. Is it probable? We don't know. But is it plausible that God would allow the current group of, or some of them or whatever, of the current fallen angels that are still allowed to be, you know, operating with Satan, they're not locked up, to do the same as what happened in Genesis 6? Is that kind of what you're maybe saying is possible?
Well, they did it once.
Yeah.
They did it once.
Because the other angels are locked up until such a time as the Bible describes.
Right.
So we know that God's not going to let those guys out.
Right. But a new group could. I'm just saying they would be really foolish and stupid because they're going to get grabbed by the scruff of their angel neck and thrown right in there in Tartarus, you know, with all the everybody else. Now, could it happen? Yes, but I think that if they got any wisdom at all, they're not going to do that. I would find that unlikely, but I'm not going to say it couldn't happen. There is something interesting, Greg. I will mention in a lot of this before you move on to the next question. There is a group that's connected to all this World Economic Forum and all the world government stuff, whatever. And I was just reading today, interestingly enough, they claim that in 2025, the true masters of the earth are going to be revealed and that they are aliens.
Interesting.
And these aliens are going to reveal themselves and say, we've been here the whole time. We're a higher race of existence. Mm. We've come to kind of rule the planet and run the planet. And they're saying they're going to reveal themselves in 2025. They call them these masters or whatever. Again, could be just total, you know, again, sounds like weirdo stuff. But at the same time, it is interesting that they would use or claim something. It doesn't mean that even if they said that, it doesn't mean they really would be fallen angels. It's just, it could even be a play for world power. We don't know. Maybe it's something with the Antichrist. Maybe it's nothing. But it is interesting to read that article and then have this question come along. It's just intriguing. We'll see
what happens.
We got to be careful. I'm kind of sounding here like, I don't know, those late night midnight shows that people are. We're not a late night midnight show.
We're not.
At least we can't become that. Anyway, here we are.
That kind of deserves.
If you knew the power of the dark side.
Okay, we're going to go from Bryan, Texas, to Samantha, who enjoys Signs of the Times in Long Island, New York.
Great.
Samantha's got a three-parter, Pastor Mark, so let's take these one at a
time.
Yes,
let's do that.
The first one is this. I recently came across a post talking about the Leviathan, Behemoth, and Ziz. The writer linked them to end-time destruction. Can you explain them and what their purpose might be, especially if it could be linked to end times?
Yeah, again, well, as far as the Behemoth, Leviathan, and all this, let me first of all say the Bible speaks of them as a literal creature and also as a spiritual picture of Satan, that is Leviathan anyway. The Behemoth is just spoken of in Job as, I believe, probably it's a dinosaur. If you read the description of the Behemoth, it's got these giant ribs that are like, you know, iron, and the spears can't pierce it. And then it talks about the Behemoth, you know, being so powerful and so strong and all this kind of stuff, a tail like a cedar tree.
Hmm.
I mean, there's really not any animal I can think of that fits that description alive today. People try to say, well, it's an alligator. Well, that's not a cedar tree tail. It's a big tail,
it's
but
a big
not
tail.
A cedar tree tail. And so I don't see anything other than probably describing the dinosaurs there in Job. Again, part of God's creation as the Behemoth. So there's nothing there other than just, I think, a dinosaur explanation on that one, Samantha. As far as the Leviathan approach, again, we also see, I believe, Leviathan was indeed at some point a real creature, maybe a dinosaur in the ocean. Talks about Leviathan when it swims in the ocean. You read about it in Job. It says that it made a wake that made it look like it had white hair. It looked like the ocean had white hair. So you look from the air like a drone or a plane, and something so big moving so fast, like a big boat, that it makes a wake that looks all white. And in that day, you didn't have, you know, boats that were powered by engines or whatever. So when they would see that, whatever it was huge. It made a huge wake, and it moved quickly to make a giant, you know, this white giant thing moving to the ocean. They would see it. So apparently it was probably another type of dinosaur, ocean dinosaur. We don't know for sure, Leviathan. But in addition to that, Leviathan is referred to in the sense of Satan. It's used symbolically. It talks about, because when you read about Leviathan, there are some things that, yes, you can tell that's a real creature. And then there's some things that Leviathan's spoken of in Job. You can tell this is not a real creature. This is something spiritual. So we see Leviathan used as a real creature and also a picture of Satan. And you have to look at the context to know which one it is. And we also, and as far as Behemoth goes, well, the Behemoth, again, that's just a dinosaur. I think you see clearly as a dinosaur, you know, in Scripture as well. So, I wouldn't give it any more than that. I don't think there's anything more about that. As far as this Greek mythology, the Ziz is basically Jewish mythological giant bird. There's really nothing in Scripture that gives any credence to any kind of creature like that that existed. Maybe it's connected to dragons. You know, I think that dragons could have been real at some point. Whether they're probably not like you see them in the movies, but there is an indication that the dragons were indeed real, some type of flying serpent that did exist at some time. And again, from Job, it looks like he even had ability to breathe fire. So I do believe there were literal dragons at some point. I think it was part of the dinosaur realm, as well as Behemoth, as well as Leviathan.
Now, if you find Puff, then, you know.
Oh, Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yes.
Then, see now
it all makes sense.
To the midnight show thing. Sorry. You're just, what are you doing, Greg?
Okay. Question number two.
I still don't believe you exist because I don't think you're real.
I'm not. I'm in a hologram, actually. Is it okay to celebrate? This is her, Samantha's second question. Is it okay to celebrate biblical/Jewish festivals as Christians? My family is from Eastern Europe and went through the Holocaust, so we want to dig in more to that side of the family. But she says she is hesitant because I think maybe there was a connection there to a Jewish lineage or heritage.
Yeah.
And then there was a fear of coming out and celebrating those things during the time of World War II, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, let me just say, as far as Christians celebrating the biblical feast, that is fine. There's nothing wrong in celebrating Passover, any of them. I mean, tabernacles, whatever you want to celebrate, there's nothing wrong at all. As a matter of fact, if you look at those feasts and at least study them, even if you don't celebrate them, if you at least study them, there's some great insight into God and Jesus as the Messiah. I mean, the Passover screams Jesus Christ.
Yes,
it does. I mean, the whole thing. You have the afikoman. You have the three pieces of bread that are individually wrapped. You take three pieces of the unleavened bread, you wrap them individually, then wrap them all in one. So you see a picture of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You take the middle one out and you go and hide it during the meal, which Jesus is now hidden from the nation of Israel until he's revealed. And the kids go and look for it and the kids find it.
Yeah.
Their children, they don't, but the next generation. I mean, the whole thing. Anyway, so there's great, great insight into the feast. There's nothing wrong in celebrating the feast. Here is the word of caution I would give. And it is a strong caution. And that is, don't ever start looking at the feast as a means to please God or the law, a means to appease the law or to follow the law in order to please God. Because when you start using the feast legally as to follow the law to please God, now you're in sin. The Bible says, no, you're not to do that. It's through faith in Jesus Christ and faith alone. And the problem I see with certain people, and I've even seen sometimes in the Messianic Jewish movement, to me, it gets on the edge of, guys, be careful. You need to reel this thing back in, because they start making a requirement for circumcision.
They fall back into the law.
Yes, a requirement for the feast. And the danger of it is that the circumstance, the pomp and circumstance, the imagery and all, it can draw you in to where you start trying to follow the law. And now you're getting out of line with grace and the cross and blood. So, yes, celebrate the feast, enjoy the feast, study the feast. There's great insight. But don't think that the feasts have to be followed in order for you to go to heaven or you to be a good whatever. No, it's through faith in Jesus Christ and the blood on the cross.
Yeah, it's a good point to make, Pastor Mark, because there's nothing that we can do that's going to cause God to love us any more than he did when he was hanging on the cross.
That's right. That's right. And you certainly can't earn it. And see, again, my concern is with the feast.
Exactly.
You start trying to earn your way in with God. Look, God, I'm following the feast. Yeah. I'm following the law. Whoa, 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 whoa. No, back up. That is not what we're called to do. And it is not wrong to do. You're free in Christ. We see that Paul was rushing to get back in time for the Pentecost or whatever.
Sure.
So, yes, the feast can be celebrated. But Paul knew that it wasn't by the feast. They just gave a picture of something that he wanted to celebrate.
Yeah.
It was through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, through faith and faith alone.
All right, Pastor Mark, her last question is this. I had a conversation with someone about head coverings. I know it was common for women in biblical times, but what about currently? Her friend was saying it is more biblical to still wear head coverings, even as Christians. I can't seem to find where it is in the Bible.
Yeah, you're right, Samantha. It's not biblical, nor is it required for women to wear head coverings. Let's talk about this, though, and I'll tell you where it comes from. I get this question from time to time, and if I don't have it out there on frequently asked questions for the show, I need to go ahead and do one of these. Here's the situation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about women wearing a head covering because they need to have that covering to come under authority and not to stumble the angels. And so it starts to sound like, wait a minute, stumble the angels? This must be something we're still supposed to do. And why would it stumble the angels? Let me explain to you what I think is going on here. First of all, let me just start with what we know it's not. You're not required. A woman is not required to wear a head covering. And how do we know that? Because in 1 Corinthians 11, when he's talking about the issue, he ends that whole segment by saying this about head coverings. However, if anyone seems to be contentious about the head coverings, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. So he pretty much says head coverings are not something that are required by God, and they're not something a woman has to do or wear. We have no such custom, and nor do the churches of God. So he makes a clear statement. It's not about women having to wear head coverings. So once we settle that issue, now let's back into it and go, well, okay, he made a clear statement that women don't have to wear head coverings. Then why did he just say right before that that those in Corinth should be wearing head coverings? Here is why. It was a very special situation in Corinth. Up on the Acropolis there, on the mountain next to Corinth, was a temple to Aphrodite, a temple to this sex goddess. And what they would do is they would come down into the city, and to let them know they were prostitutes for this sex goddess, they would go up there and have sex. That's how they worship their god. They would let their hair down, and so they'd walk around with their hair down, and it was basically saying, look, I'm a prostitute for the temple. Follow me. And they even wore shoes. They have evidence now of sandals that they wore with deep impressions on the bottom of them that said, follow me or whatever, and they'd walk in the sand so the men could read it, and they'd know which way they were going to try to lure them up there to have sex. And, of course, they claimed it worshiping their god or whatever. So here's the deal. Because having your hair down and open in Corinth signified being a prostitute, Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, look, guys, we don't do this in the other churches. He says that very clearly. None of the churches have this. But for you in Corinth, because it will be a stumbling block to everyone there, you need to wear head covering. I know they don't in the other churches. I know it's not required in Scripture. But in Corinth, because of the prostitutes up there at the Temple of Aphrodite, I want all you guys to do it. Because if you show up to church and your hair's down, they're going to say, oh, wow. The guys, first of all, now the guys are going to be lusting in their mind going, hey, they're trying to fight the
she's
images.
Got a side hustle.
Yeah, maybe I can sleep with her. Maybe she's a prostitute. He's like, don't stumble them. Do a head covering and show that you're under the authority of your husband. Show you're under the authority of God. Now the question comes in, well, what about the angels? It said that the angels don't stumble. It wasn't that the angels would stumble sexually. Angels see everything going on. It's not like they were just in Corinth seeing prostitutes. Angels today see prostitutes in New York City. So that's not what it was about. So it would appear, and only God knows, but it would appear it was a stumbling on authority. That is, you had a third of the angels that came out from under their authority, and they were cast out of heaven. We talked about them a moment ago. Now you've got the angels attending services, because the Bible says they go to services. And if they see the women not coming under the authority of their husbands and the directive of what they should be doing there in Corinth, and they go, well, they're not coming under authority, it could be possibly a temptation for them to not come under authority. So don't stumble the angels. Put a head covering on. Don't stumble the other men in the congregation. Put a head covering on. But again, we have no such custom in all the churches. So no, women don't have to wear head coverings.
Okay, very good.
1 Corinthians 11.
All right. Well, if you've got questions like Samantha and Addison, we encourage you to visit the Signs of the Times section of thewaymedia.net and send those questions our way.
You may be a businessman or some high degree.
All right, as we look at one world government, you know, sin likes company. And this article from Breitbart.com, dated March 31st, indicates just that, as it says Australia's left-wing government has basically followed suit of the United States and celebrates Easter Sunday as Transgender Day of Visibility.
You know, Greg, when
I guess they did it first, maybe because they're ahead of us in time.
Well,
so maybe we followed them.
Well, again, it says here they have joined the U.S. President Joe
there
Biden.
We go. Yeah. Okay.
Here's the thing. Even as being bold for Christ creates other people that are bold for Christ, being bold for evil creates people that are bold for evil. President Biden demonstrated a boldness for evil when he promoted the Transgender Day thing. And so Australia, being a very liberal, evil leadership over there, they jumped on it. Hey, that gives up. Yeah, we agree, and we're going to jump right in there, adding more fuel to the fire. It says Australia's left-wing Labor government has joined U.S. President Joe Biden and issued a gushing praise on Easter Sunday, of all things, for the Transgender Day of Visibility. Foreign Minister Senator Penny Wong, the country's first openly gay female parliamentarian, gave the public affirmation on behalf of the government led by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese. Their backing came even as Christianity remains the largest single religion in Australia, with a total of 43.9% of the nationwide population identifying with Christian denomination in the 2021 census. So, again, it's majority not, but still you have quite a few Christians over there. The senator shared a picture of a blue, purple, and white striped transgender flag and declared on X, formerly Twitter, the Albanese Labor government stands with the trans and gender diverse people across Australia. We celebrate your strength, your courage, and et cetera. Now, again, it's bad enough to just make this open proclamation about sin and leading people down the wrong path. But what Greg makes this really blasphemy, where it really breached over into blasphemy, is when they did it on the day the Lord resurrected. And that was, you know, look, I know it happened to fall that day, quote, unquote, right? It happened to fall that day, they say, mm-hmm. Because the calendar changes. Okay, I get
sure.
it.
Sure, yeah.
But look, you're smart enough to realize that if you don't change that day and you celebrate on that day,
there's no fear.
There's no fear. We talked about the spirit of Antichrist.
Yes.
The instead of Christ is growing. People are not afraid of God.
Mm-mm.
They're not afraid of the consequences. And they're going to be one day when he's gracious. The only reason God's not dealing with it now is God is gracious. But they're going to stand before God and give account. And again, it's shocking to me to see the boldness that those have that hate God and to think about how fearful they're going to be when they have to stand before him one-on-one. It's not going to be pretty.
No. All right, it's time for pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. Put them in a blender, hold your nose, and drink. Here we go. Fox News, dated March 29th, the Centers for Disease Control say U.S. tuberculosis cases in 2023 were at their highest level in a decade.
Yeah, this is again concerning. We've There's always been some tuberculosis in the States and around the world, but it's growing now because, again, we have this influx of people, these illegal immigrants coming in from all over the world, and they're bringing these diseases in, and then they're putting them in these closed places,
yes.
And it's just spreading. It's going to be spreading like wildfire. It says the number of U.S. cases in 23 was the highest in a decade. The CDC said on its website Thursday that overall cases increased from 8,320 in 2022 to 9,615 in 23. An increase of 1,295, and that's not even talking, we don't even know what's happening this year, and it's only getting more and more influx of these illegals coming across the border. CDC officials expected TB numbers to rise, but the 2023 count, it says, was a little more than expected. Dr. Philip LeBeau, director of the agency's Division of Tuberculosis Elimination, told the Associated Press. And so, again, we're going to see more of this, Greg. You're going to see more diseases, pestilence. The Lord talked about it in Matthew 24. And now you can see how it's going to be happening here. But here's the thing. It's not just in America. Remember, we don't just look like what's happening in America. It's got to be worldwide. But it's happening worldwide because you have this influx of people leaving their countries and flooding Western nations all over the world. And they're bringing with them.
They're bringing the tuberculosis.
They're bringing with them these diseases that people don't have, and they're bringing them in. So mm-hmm. I think you're going to see more and more of this, and it's going to get interesting.
And more earthquakes too. This is from Newsmax, dated April 3rd. Taiwan 7.4 magnitude earthquake leaves 9 dead. I don't know if that number's changed or not since April 3rd passed. Mark, that was 2 days ago.
Yes, I'm sure that it has changed. It was a huge earthquake, but either way, it rocked the island during the morning rush hour on Wednesday, damaging buildings and highways, leaving 9 people dead. I saw you see buildings leaning over.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I've seen that in other earthquakes. It's scary.
Scary.
The agency said authorities have lost contact with 50 people in minibuses after the quake downed phone networks. More than 70 others are trapped but believed to be alive, including some in a coal mine. Well, that'd be scary.
Mm-hmm.
Another 882 have been injured. And I quote, I'll end with this quote, earthquakes are a common occurrence. I have grown accustomed to them, but today was the first time I was scared to tears by an earthquake, said Swan Ken, a resident who lives in the 5th floor apartment in Taipei. I was awakened by the earthquake. I've never felt such intense shaking before. And this is the key. I wanted to make that intense statement again. This was a 7.4. I think I said 7.9, 7.4. These are big. And this is where
7.4 is a big one.
It's huge. And this is where, again, the Bible says in the last days, it won't just be an increase in earthquakes. It'll be an increase in the power, the intensity of the earthquakes, like a woman in birth pains before she gives birth.
Along with the frequency.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Our last article in this category, Pastor Mark, comes from the Express News Service in the United Kingdom. It says Haiti has declared a quote-unquote open-air prison as gang violence reaches apocalyptic levels.
Yeah, this place is a nightmare.
Wow. Greg. Very sad for the people.
Well, and cannibals in the streets. I don't know if you've seen
what?
Any of that.
No.
Yeah, they're taking bodies that are dead, and they're it's not good. But it's a very wicked, witchcrafty
place to begin with.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
The United Nations sound the alarm that as the gangs continue to shoot unarmed civilians and recruit children into their criminal operations, Haiti's crisis has gotten so bad that the country has now been described as an open-air prison as armed gangs continue to kill unarmed civilians and the humanitarian crisis deepens. In recent weeks, the gangs have ramped up their violence as they forced Prime Minister Ariel Henry, probably pronounced, to resign. A transitional government has been formed to run the country before the elections are held, but the gangs continue to cause chaos in the streets. Who would want to run for president? Because these gangs are going to try to kill anybody that's in charge because they're going to try to be in charge. It is truly a nightmare over there. And the crazy thing is, you know, we're letting anybody just come across the border. Well, they're coming in from Haiti on boats now. I mean, and again, it's not picking on the Haitian people. There are some wonderful, I've been to Haiti on mission trip, wonderful people in Haiti that I know, and my heart goes out to them. But there are a lot of wicked people in Haiti that have no business coming across our border.
Yeah. All right, as we take a look at the church from Fox News, dated March 31st, this happened here close to home in the state of Tennessee. A trailer of Bibles intentionally set on fire in front of a Tennessee church on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, again, we talked about, Greg, the boldness of the enemy now. I mean, can you imagine in America lighting a trailer of Bibles in front of a church? I've never heard of this.
Never heard of this
ever.
Before.
Now, maybe it has. I've never heard of it. It's just shocking to me, again, the boldness of those of the people that just are so bold against God. They're just like openly wicked. They don't care. And so, again, they're investigating after the trailer full of Bibles were found there burning around 6 a.m. on Sunday. Mount Juliet Police Department and Fire Department swiftly responded to a trailer fire located in an intersection that was blocking the entrance of Global Vision Church. The church's pastor, Greg Locke, said in a statement posted on Facebook that the church's security cameras were able to capture a man reportedly dropping off the trailer before setting it ablaze. The Wilson County Sheriff's Office also issued a statement saying they believe the fire was set intentionally. Well, yeah, they see him setting it. That would pretty much make it clear that it was intentionally set. But here's the thing. Again, no fear of God. You know, Greg, even as an unbeliever, I could never have burned a Bible.
I know.
There is no way, much less burn one at a church. So I
or even tear it.
I mean, as an unsaved person, I had a fear of God, you know, because even what if God was real? You know, well, now that I know him, the fear is much greater in the sense of respect.
Yeah.
But, oh, my goodness, it just shows, again, the rising spirit of Antichrist, the rising spirit of a lack of fear of God, and the wickedness that we're heading into for the great tribulation soon to come, where God will judge the earth for its rebellion and wickedness against God.
Yeah. Well, let's try to muster up some good news to finish our show today.
We need it.
This is from All Israel News, dated March 28th. As war rages, why are Israelis searching for God and even considering Jesus?
Yeah, this is so exciting, Greg. We've been talking about this for a while, how God is using what's going on right now in Israel to get their attention and wake them up and turn them to God. God's going to continue to prepare their hearts to receive the Messiah, which is going to happen soon, the Bible tells us, and this is all a part of it. It says every year, tens of thousands of Christians visit the Garden Tomb, that is the empty tomb, in Jerusalem to reflect on the life, death, and miraculous resurrection of Jesus Christ. But this year, with Israel engaged in a brutal war against Hamas in Gaza for almost 6 months, more and more Israeli Jews than ever before are wrestling with existential questions. They're asking about life and death and life after death, and even whether Jesus of Nazareth might in fact be the Jewish Messiah. That is just amazing. I mean, I look at this and go, wow, what a great article. And just to see that God is preparing their hearts. You know, before you can open your eyes to the Lord, your heart has to be open. And so God is now, as a nation, he's getting their heart ready. He's breaking them down. He's softening their hearts. They're singing songs about the coming Messiah, the military is. I mean, when it comes to life and death, and especially the whole world turning against you, even your so-called friends, America, there's nowhere else to look but God. Mm. And what God's going to do in the last days, he's going to corner the nation of Israel, or the whole world turns against him, the Bible says in Zechariah. They will have nowhere to turn but God, and then God's going to intervene and supernaturally rescue them, and they're going to come to believe in their Messiah. And, you know, as we finish with that article today, there's good news for you because Jesus has done that for you as well. It might be that you found yourself surrounded, closed in on all sides, and nowhere to turn but God. Maybe your own family, maybe your own friends, maybe everything is collapsing around you in your life right now, and you have nowhere to turn, but you do have somewhere to turn, and that is Jesus Christ. He has done this in your life to get your eyes looking at Him. Now turn to Him. Say, Lord, I believe You died for me on the cross. I believe Your blood will forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. I turn to You. And if you'll turn to the Lord and receive Him and ask forgiveness, and your desperation, or even without desperation, the Bible says you will be saved. And that's the real good news that we finished the show with today. Salvation through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, folks, normal in this world is not coming back, but Jesus is. So, church, live with no regrets. Amen. Live according to the Word of God, and you will not go wrong. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget thewaymedia.net for everything signs of the times related and other things that we offer through The Way Media to keep you fed and encouraged 24 hours a day. We'll see you back next Friday for more signs of the times right here on WIAM.